own human excretions because the hired help doesn't get paid enough to come in and clean up their beds and turn them over and give them baths and make sure that they're clean and okay and happy and healthy. And who goes to see them, ladies and gentlemen? Once they're housed in these so-called old folks' homes, aren't they by and large forgotten, left there to die? And don't most of them spend their time sitting around in front of television sets or in chairs, doing nothing but waiting to die? There used to be a time in this country when the old folks lived at home and thus imparted the culmination of all of their years of experience and learning to the young people. And it allowed the children to see folks grow old and experience the death of their grandfather or grandmother or great-grandfather or great-grandmother. And there was a chance for the children to repay their parents and grandparents by taking care of them in their old age as they took care of us in our infancy. But no more. That wealth of knowledge and wisdom and information is frittered away in old folks' homes where people are shelved, warehoused until they die. Can't wait to get rid of them. It is a travesty. It's a great sadness. It is a terrible sin in my estimation. How could we allow such things to happen? But we have. And yet we go on as if it's not going to happen to us. How can we be so stupid? It is assured to happen to us if that is what we are doing to our parents and our grandparents. That is what our children are going to do to us, or maybe worse. If Dr. Kevorkian gets his way, there will come a day when 2 weeks after you're housed in the old folks' warehouse, you will mysteriously die. And the children and grandchildren will receive a letter saying that, oh, we are so sorry to tell you, but 2 weeks after admitting your father or grandfather into the old folks' home, he suffered a stroke and passed away. You see, because if we continue upon this track, there will come a day when those who are a drain or burden upon the socialist big brother, big daddy society will be eliminated. I suggest you go watch Soylent Green one more time, ladies and gentlemen. When that movie was made, it was far-fetched. Nobody could conceive of such things happening, but today it's a different story. Not only can it be conceived, not only can you see it coming in the future, but people are talking about doing exactly what you saw in that movie in meetings and societies around the world as one of the solutions to the population and hunger problem. Did you know that? Well, it's true. Weishaupt organized his order along the lines of Jesuit organization. He was a Jesuit priest, and he drew heavily on abandoned sections of the canon, especially in the canon of usury, for his teachings. He was a ruthless politician. He was a master at the art of pretending to be all things to all men and using men's stupidity to destroy them. What makes someone want to join these organizations, these so-called fraternal lodges, where they're told from the beginning they will know nothing about what they're joining until they're initiated? How stupid can you be? Oh, yep, I'm going down to join Murderers Incorporated. Hey, Joe, why you want to do that? Well, it's a fraternal organization amongst these guys, and they just call it that. It's just a joke. Well, how do you know it's just a joke? Well, that's a fraternal organization. They exist for the good of the community. They wouldn't do anything bad. Well, they wouldn't? How do you know? Well, I really don't know, but I'm sure they wouldn't, because I know a couple of guys who are members. Well, why are you joining an organization, Joe, that you don't know anything about? Well, all of these guys, they take care of each other and look out for each other, and, they get all the contracts in town. Everybody knows that. I mean, my business is going to be a success if I join this lodge. Well, Joe, aren't you worried that you're going to be joining something that you don't know anything about, and you're going to get hooked into this thing, and maybe you might be participating in something you don't want to participate in? Oh, no, they wouldn't do anything like that. So old Joe goes down and gets initiated, and after he's initiated, he thinks he knows everything. He doesn't even know what happened to him. He doesn't understand the symbology or the ritual that he was led through. All he knows is, I got the handshake now, boy. I'm on the gravy train. And generally, that's true. These so-called fraternal organizations appeal to the basest nature of the human animal by promising them that they will become one of the elect few, the illumined ones, that they will learn great secrets, and that they will be taken care of by the brotherhood, and that their success in the community will be assured. That when they go into court, the court will look out after them. And that is generally true also. For the most part, most members of all of these different lodges don't know beans about what it is that they're a part of and never will and don't even want to. And there is no secret, for as the lucky few who do catch on and do understand and do demonstrate their loyalty and obedience will rise up through the degrees to the highest levels, and they will ultimately find the secret that has been held out to them as the carrot since the beginning. And the secret is, ladies and gentlemen, that there is no secret. The secret is simply how to hold out the carrot of the promise of a secret to control and manipulate others. That is the only secret that they have. And all the while that they are taught that they will become God, that man is God. But I have yet to see one of these gods create a universe or fail to grow old and die. I have yet to see any of them prove that reincarnation is real and that they're going to come back, or that anybody has ever come back from anywhere at any time ever. It is a perversion of the mind. And these people are suckers. If they sit down and really look at what it is that they're doing and listen to what it is that they are pattering, none of it makes any sense or has any reason connected to it whatsoever. Not at all. Adam Weishaupt cautiously avoided shocking the religious among the initiates into the order by pretending to support religion. He taught them that Christ was the first author of Illuminism, through which he sought to lead mankind back to the original liberty and equality that had been lost after the fall of Adam and Eve. And he exhorted his disciples to scorn riches in order to prepare the world for a community of goods that would do away with private property. But to members advanced into the secrets of the order who were pledged to absolute discipline and to yield to our molding hands, he taught them this, and I quote his exact words, "The pretended religion of Christ was nothing else than the work of priests, a fraud and tyranny. Other religions have the same myths of their origin, are equally founded on lying, error, riddle, and fraud. In order to destroy Christianity and all religion, we pretend to have the only true religion. For the end justifies the means, and those we have taken to deliver you and the human race from all religions are nothing but pious frauds," end quote. which was the admission that he himself, his organization, his religion, and his lodges are nothing but pious frauds. All of these peoples are liars. You watch them lie every day, and you wonder how they can do it. It's because they believe that the end justifies the means, and if they have to lie to get what they want, it's okay with them. You see, you don't understand. They have no morals, they have no ethics, and the end justifies the means. Whatever happens in life is just a learning experience. And how you behave in any experience is dictated by your subjective viewpoint, because you are God. Don't you understand that? Yes. Didn't you see Shirley MacLaine's movie? Didn't you get the gist of all of that? Didn't she run across the beach yelling, "I am God!" Shirley, I hate to tell you this, but you're not God. You have more wrinkles now than you did then. You're shriveling up, and soon you're going to die. I hope it's not a painful death. We all die, so I don't feel any guilt or twangs of conscience about saying this. It's true. You are a mortal human being. You are not God, never were, and never will be, ever. Sorry to have to pop your bubble, Shirley, but it's the truth. And you can run across the beach all you want to, and each succeeding year you will run slower, and you will get tired faster, and you will have to sit down at some point and rest, because you're getting old, Shirley. And you're having to use more makeup every morning, and it takes longer for you to prepare to go out and meet the world in order to fool them that you are still as beautiful as you were when you were 25. And don't get me wrong, Shirley, we all love you and appreciate all of the wonderful movies that you have made and the entertainment that you have given us, but we do not appreciate being lied to. You are not God. There will never come a day where I will bow down to any altar and worship you. If you are to be worshipped, Shirley MacLaine, it's going to have to be you that does all the worshipping, because, frankly, my dear Scarlett, nobody else gives a damn. And that's the truth. The universe is so great, so complicated, that without even looking at the universe, just look once at the human body and then tell me how you are God. There is a God somewhere, that much is evident. There is no doubt about it to any reasonable person who sees how the universe and how the human body and how nature and the animals and trees and the rocks and forests and streams and rivers all work together, and the planets and the solar system and the galaxies all work together according to immutable laws. And none of this was put together by man, I can assure you. Not Adam Weishaupt, not Shirley MacLaine, not me, not Billy Graham, not William Jefferson Clinton, not any man or woman who has ever lived on this earth has even contributed one iota to any of it. We are lucky that we have arrived at the state where we can live next door to each other without killing each other. And that's the truth of the matter. And we did it by allowing people to succeed on their own effort and holding them responsible for what they do. The creation of the United States of America by the founding fathers, even though they may have had ulterior motives in doing so, was the culmination, the ultimate achievement of all humankind, where man ceased to be a slave and became a king and queen in his and her own right, with the ability to succeed, to rise to the pinnacle of whatever their talents or achievement may have been. and to be responsible for whatever they did in the process. It's called freedom, ladies and gentlemen. It is what all Americans have in common. It is the only thing that we need be concerned with in this country. Freedom with responsibility. And you don't get freedom by making more and more laws, by throwing more and more people in prison for doing nothing to anybody, by creating victimless crimes, by controlling, by saying you can say this and you can say that, but you over there, you can't say that. You can travel and you can travel, but you can't travel. By closing off the highway and stopping every car and making people get out and rumbling through their possessions, that's not freedom. By throwing a woman who has the guts and exercises her freedom of speech to tell the president that he sucks in jail. He does suck. Who do they think they were kidding? Did they think by throwing this woman in jail that nobody would ever think ever again that the president sucks? He sucks. He's a liberal, communist. He's destroying this country. And all of his pretending to be a conservative Republican now, after he found out that nobody was going for all of that communist crap he was shoving down our throats, isn't changing anything. Is it? Is it, ladies and gentlemen? These people believe that Jesus Christ was a communist and that's what he taught. Though I read all of his words, I don't hear that. And I'm not telling you have to be a Christian or anything else. You see, I really believe in freedom. I really believe in the founding principles and ideals of this nation. I believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I believe so much in it, I'm willing to die for these principles and ideals. I believe you have a right to worship the God of your choice at the altar of your choice. I don't care who or what it is, as long as you do not hurt the property or person of any other human being. That's what I believe. Those of you who disagree with that, you're not Americans. And that's the truth. You certainly don't believe in the freedom of religion or freedom of speech, and that's the truth. And you don't seem to understand that when you take away the rights of someone else to practice what you yourself covet, you have also taken it away from you. The moment someone rises to power who disagrees with you. The only way that we can protect ourselves is to protect all of us against the things that we do not want to happen to us. Whether we agree with them or not, whether we like them or not, it makes no difference. It matters little in the long run. For if I say to Joe cannot worship the religion that he wishes, the God that he wishes, at the altar that he wishes, I have also said to myself, uh-oh. You see, if Joe gets a bunch of people with him and he rises to power, Joe is going to turn around and do the same thing to me, and he will justify it by the fact that I did it to him. That's the true danger of democracies, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why our founders gave us a republic. A constitutional republic that protects the rights of individuals, not the rights of the group. You better watch out when the group becomes more important than the individual, because each and every one of you, though you may belong to the group, are individuals, and if you become unpopular, are politically incorrect, or if you utter one word that is disagreeable, you become forfeit and can be sacrificed by the group for the good of the whole. The only way, ladies and gentlemen, to protect the good of the whole was as our forefathers saw it, was to protect the rights of the individual. That guaranteed the health of the whole. When you put the health of the whole over the health of the rights of the individual, you have destroyed everything. You've made everything forfeit. In fact, you have created a God that doesn't even exist except in your minds or on a piece of paper. It's called government. When humanity exists to serve government, it is the biggest, saddest irony that man is then bowing to a God that he created. Oh, you see, in the only instance that man really can be God, in the creation of a government to protect the rights of man and to serve man, if man turns the tables on himself and makes the government his God, he has destroyed himself. In a very sick, perverse, and disagreeable manner. Weishaupt was a shrewd student of religion, ladies and gentlemen, and of canon law, which, as I said before, is religious law. He saw in the abandoned sections of the canon law on usury a diabolic device for robbing nations and enslaving them. I've been trying to teach you this for years. This section had been abandoned because it had been found by the church not only impractical, but actually dangerous, except possibly in church orders where asceticism and devotion are the mainsprings and motives of existence. You see, the church was almost enslaved by the Knights Templars, who became the world's first international bankers. And so they learned the lesson the hard way. The rank and file of mankind engage in a struggle for existence and necessarily must be endowed with a strong sense of possession as an aid in the acquisition of material things essential for survival in the world at large. We all know that. Canon law decreed that there must be production for use and not for profit, and that making a profit in a business transaction is the sin and crime of usury. Usury was a cardinal sin and a capital offense under the canon. As a result of this canon on usury, the industry, commerce, and civilization of the Roman Empire disintegrated, and civilization and culture vanished in a flood of socialism. You see, only three vocations became open to mankind. You could join the orders of the church. You could earn by the sweat of the brow as a laborer, or the more cunning, ruthless, and violent individuals in the role of knight posed as protectors of labor or labor leaders while actually enslaving the workers. And the more ruthless and violent the knight, the more serfs he enthralled, the more people he robbed, the wealthier and more powerful he became, all in the guise of protecting his victims and giving them security. That's socialism. Oh, you work my fields. You serve in my army. You wait on my tables. You lick my boots, and I will take care of you and make sure that you always have that work to do, and I will throw you the crumbs from my table. That's socialism. It's also feudalism. Over under the world socialism that's coming, they intend to do away with the feudal lords. There will only be one lord, the world lord. There will only be one serf, the world serf. And you're it. the more powerful and ruthless Vandals, in no wise hampered by inhibitions imposed by the teachings of the church, in turn vanquished the knights who were handicapped. And both elements preyed on the church itself. A man could hold his possessions or his womenfolk, and a church, monastery, or convent could hold their property and wealth only so long as they were strong enough to fight for them, or able to muster others to their defense, or if they had enough serfs to muster into an army to fight for them. It meant rule by labor and violence, and an end to law and order. This became the age of darkness that is known as the medieval times, or medievalism. It does reflect some credit, ladies and gentlemen, on the church that it recognized in the communism of canon law and usury the root of the evils of medievalism, and that it abandoned that section, abandoned it, threw it out, understood what it had brought them. Took a lot of time for it to happen. A lot of people died and lived in misery and disease. But it did come about. And that was the preparation for the Renaissance, for law and order, and for the beginning of the rise of human liberty, accomplishment. Where people were allowed to excel and invent and discover and learn and write magnificent books. Swiss America Trading. They specialize in non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets, real money as described in the Constitution for the United States of America and in the law. Most people do not know that a piece of paper cannot be a dollar, for a dollar is nothing but a unit of measurement of a specific weight and measurement of purity of silver coin or the equivalent value in gold coin. So when you take out one of those Federal Reserve notes that's not federal, is not a note, and it says a dollar, and it's not a dollar, what are you doing? And why are you doing it? I mean, how stupid can we be? And why are we being so stupid? It's okay to be ignorant, folks, but not stupid. You see, if you're ignorant, that just means you don't have the knowledge. You can learn. You can make up for that. But when you have the knowledge and you still do the same things over and over again, that's stupidity. And there is nothing that can be done for that. It's caused by a lack of brains or guts. Which is it in your situation? Call Swiss America Trading. Ask them about real money. Ask them for a free copy of the current newsletter. Tell them that you're a listener to the Hour of the Time. And ask them how you can get your hands on some real money. And it doesn't cost a fortune, ladies and gentlemen. You can purchase one silver dollar or one gold coin, a small gold coin, a $5 gold piece that you can barely see but is heavier than you can even imagine, because gold is heavy. And once you feel it, you know it's gold because it has a gold feel. If you've never felt it, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Once you've held real money in your hand, you can never be fooled again by that phony stuff in your pocket. That's what's destroying this country. That's the method that the communists have devised to eliminate the middle class, as one of the precepts of the Communist Manifesto written by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. Most of the planks on the Communist Manifesto have been fulfilled in this country already. If you don't believe it, get a copy and read it. You can usually find a copy in any local library. If you can't, call Bill Clinton. I'm sure he's got one on his desk. He'll send you a copy. Call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-BUY-COIN. Do it now, ladies and gentlemen. You know how you are. You're just like me and everybody else until we wake up. You tend to procrastinate. Don't do it anymore. We're on the edge of a cliff, and pretty soon we'll be falling off that cliff if we don't do something about it. So get off your lazy rear and start now. That's why Bill Clinton in a White House memo calls me the most dangerous radio host in America, and Rush Limbaugh read it on the air to absolve itself of all guilt with the liberal establishment. And you call him your leader? Wake up, America. You've been had. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Professor Weishaupt knew the destructive force and the malevolent enslaving power inherent in the communist nature of the canon on usury, and he saw in it a weapon with which to impoverish and enslave mankind and gain dominion over the world, and he taught it to his followers. He embraced this dross of the church that he planned to destroy and made it the basis of his conspiracy. This he represented, ladies and gentlemen, as a new social order, new world order, new deal, new economic order. I don't care what you call it. Great society. It's all the same. He also pretended that he could root out possessiveness from human nature and thereby perfect it. This is the fundamental fallacy of communism, even when it is sincerely tried, as has been revealed by numerous experiences during the 19th century. Experiments in communism were rampant. The hippies went back to it in communes during the 60s and early 70s. That didn't work either. Where are they now? They're on Wall Street making a killing. Every one of them, except one that I know. For the purpose of stealthily robbing peoples of their wealth when they refuse to voluntarily renounce it, Weishaupt conceived of devices for confiscating all wealth by taxation. He advocated a progressive income tax and an even more confiscatory inheritance tax that would bar transmission of wealth and concentrate it in the hands of himself as ruler or in his organization. He knew that he was never going to see the culmination of this in his lifetime, ladies and gentlemen. Adam Weishaupt was no fool. He taught that it would take centuries to realize his goal. He urged the abolition of private property in any form, government ownership of industry, banking, and commerce, the complete regimentation and enslavement of labor in a discipline that required absolute submission of wealth, body, and soul. And since, as an educator, he realized the value of education in gaining control of the minds of people, which means also control of their wealth and fortunes, and its value in gaining dominance by brainwashing, he required government control of education. And you all have seen what has happened in this country because of it. His plan is coming to fruition. We have idiots graduating from high school who can't read their diploma. And now we're going on to this pigeonholing of people into the outcome-based education. And schools that teach people where to work and how to work to do certain jobs, and that's going to be what they do all their life, with no hope of ever doing anything else. A clear concept of his conspiracy can be had if it is borne in mind that Weishaupt's government in reality meant himself as dictator. When I say himself, I'm talking about his organization, the Illuminati. Professor Weishaupt was versed in church lore. He knew well the effectiveness of espionage, torture, terrorism, and of savagery as devices for enforcing the subjugation and discipline of mankind or manipulating their thoughts. He established within his order for that purpose a Gestapo-type terrorist and murderous espionage agency, which he called the Insinuating Brothers. They were to ensure that there would be no leak in the secrets of the conspirators under threat of torture and vindictive persecution, and to aid in the subjection of the citizenry. It got its first extensive work out, ladies and gentlemen, the French Reign of Terror. Have you studied the French Revolution, which was brought about by the Illuminists, the Illuminati? Every totalitarian movement that has carried on the conspiracy since then adopted this device of Weishaupt's. The terrorist espionage corps is symbolized in the insignia of the Order of Illuminati by the all-seeing eye, mounted up on a pyramid that represents the secrets of the order. It is this insignia, strangely enough, that appears on the Great Seal of the United States of America, placed there by Weishaupt's agents in the American colonies. Didn't you wonder why there was a pyramid on the dollar bill? What do we care about pyramids, about Egyptology? Why do we have a pyramid on our dollar bill? Why is it capped with an all-seeing eye? Why does it have exactly 13 courses? What does all this represent? Most of you have never asked yourself that question. What does Novus Ordo Seclorum mean? Why, ladies and gentlemen, it means New World Order. That's what it means. And you accept us. Novus Ordo Seclorum literally means, ladies and gentlemen, that they can see the culmination of their enterprise. That the great architect of the universe smiles upon their work. I could put it many other ways. Announcing the birth of the New World Order is one meaning. Sometimes I enjoy the research that brings forth all of this knowledge, but sometimes I do not enjoy giving it to you because I know you don't want to hear it. If you wanted to hear it, you'd find it for yourself, wouldn't you? The Weishaupt dictated Illuminist code enshrines lying, deceit, treachery, treason, brutality, violence, torture, and murder. Alfred P. Mura Federal Buildings, World Trade Centers, Vicky Weavers, Branch Davidians as sources of strength, vis-a-vis the stupid dilettante folks who accept civilization, culture, ethics, morality, and religion as their code. He uses these things to bring these people who appreciate civilization, culture, ethics, morality, and religion as their code to their knees to beg for more control so that their freedom can be taken away from them in exchange for security against Alfred P. Mura Federal Buildings in Oklahoma City, World Trade Center Buildings in New York City, Waco massacres in Texas, and all of the other machinations of this vile organization that is destroying the United States of America and stripping your freedom from you as you stand there and watch, begging them to take more. It is amazing to me to watch all of this happening. And try as I might to stop it and to wake you up, see that it just continues as you continue to sleep. It can't happen in America. This can't happen to me. This couldn't possibly be right. You're a conspiracy theorist. Isn't that right? And you say it from a position of complete ignorance, never having done the research or a lick of study on the subject in your life. And you watch the agents of this conspiracy tell you what to say and echo on the boob tube in your living room. And like dutiful puppets, that's exactly what you do. How many of you, after the Waco massacre, echoed to your friends and neighbors, they were just a bunch of religious fanatics. They deserved what they got in America. The land of the free and the land of the brave. The land where the rights of the individual triumph above all in order to protect the whole, all of us, from tyranny. Well, they must have done something wrong or they wouldn't have done what they did. I wonder what you will say when it happens to you. And if you continue the way you are going, it is guaranteed to happen to you. Weishaupt taught that savagery would serve to intimidate, subjugate, and terrorize their adversaries, and thereby serve to speed the attainment of the conspirator's goal, which is the subjugation and enslavement of the more decent elements of mankind and the concentration of complete and total power in the hands of the Illuminati. Weishaupt taught that human life is worthless and meaningless except as a device to further his conspiracy. Can you imagine that? A human being believing that human life is insignificant, is of no import, no consequence whatsoever. His followers have been instructed to lie without scruples, to deceive and betray without hesitancy, and they do it every day, and you watch them do it every day. Many of them you have voted into office. Others you work for or follow in some manner. Some are standing at the pulpits of your churches. They always have been enjoined to deny their adherence to the conspiracy, to deny its illuminist, socialist, communist character when exposed, and to regularly attack and vilify their accusers and pose as injured parties whose civil rights were violated because we pinned them with the truth. You see, Weishaupt and his associates set the example for the conspirators by hiding their criminal activities behind aliases, a custom that still prevails among these people. The destruction of existing governments, all existing governments, Weishaupt planned to obtain through any device that would serve to weaken and destroy them. Internally, within the nations, the recommended devices are spending the nation into bankruptcy and inflation. Class warfare, especially between labor and capital and between the races, revolution and civil war. The destruction wrought between nations by economic and physical warfare, however, was recommended by Weishaupt as most effective in leveling down all nations to a common denominator of misery that would make them all ready prey for a dictator and facilitate the attainment of the goal of the conspirators. One world, united in serfdom under one dictator. And you see the signs of this everywhere. They are preparing you for it. AT&T, one world, one card. Naturally, the attainment of this ultimate goal, ladies and gentlemen, required the elimination of patriotism and the fostering of so-called internationalism. And that's why patriotism has become a dirty word in America. That's why patriots and militias are attacked viciously, even though they have always been the first line of defense and the first to stand up and die in defense of freedom for the American people throughout the history of this country. And yet you parrot the words of your Illuminati masters and defame and defile and slander and libel your neighbors who understand what is happening and are ready to stand once again on the front line of defense of freedom for those of you who are not even worthy of these people who would give such a noble sacrifice. And that is the truth. Why should they die for you when you are ready and willing to give it all up and when you are ready to sell them down the river? Because you heard some slimy politician who has lied all of his life and continues to lie to you and is in the process of subjugating this nation to slavery through unconstitutional and treasonous legislation because you heard him say so. You are puppets. When they pull the strings, you dance to the tune that they play and you parrot what they say. Because you are afraid that if you don't, you won't get your benefits. Isn't that the truth also? Socialism is for weaklings. Socialism is for parasites. Socialism is for those who would steal the sweat off the brow of those who legitimately earn what they have. And that also is the truth. How will they support this great world of socialism? They will exploit those who are able to produce and work. And they will take all of the production from these people and give to those who cannot, or will not, or won't. because in doing so, they build their base of power. For those who are dependent upon Big Daddy will never allow Big Daddy to come falling down. They must support their source of sustenance, and that is where the power of socialism comes from. From the basest defects of the human animal comes the power of socialism. The desire in most people to not be responsible, to not work, to not produce, but to become once again children, and to have the state become their daddy. And that is the truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time. This 2 hours has gone by much too quickly, for I have so much more to tell you, but that will have to wait for another day. I hope that you are now illumined. Have I turned on any lights? Good night. God bless each and every single one of you, and may God save this republic. This is the Voice of Freedom. Freedom Radio Network, with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also broadcast on WRMI, International Shortwave, 9955 kilohertz, Monday through Friday from 5 until 8 p.m., that is Eastern Standard Time. Stay tuned now for all oldies, most of the time.